Hello and welcome to this message from Charter Oak Church. On this first Sunday of June, we start a brand new summer series called The Gospel And. This week, the focus is the gospel and grace and truth. We need to be grace people and truth people, not half grace and half truth. Grace people are pleasant to be around, but they never help us become who we should be. Truth people inspire us with their courage, but turn us off with their intimidation. Jesus was all grace and all truth. How can we be people of grace and truth?
I don't know about you, but I've been really blessed so far this morning. I'm good. How are you doing? That was awesome. Thank you, worship team. That's good stuff. I am really, really excited about being here. I have not been here in a while, but I have been here before, and I've seen, it's good to be here. I see some friends, I see some familiar faces, and I see some faces that aren't familiar. So if you are a guest here this morning, we are so glad you're here, and you know what I feel like. Although, please don't get scared. They don't make all the guests get up and speak. You can relax. It's good. I'm pinch hitting while Pastor Ben's away, and it's kind of a neat time to start because Charter Oak Church as a whole is starting a new series over this summer called The Gospel And. We're going to be looking at a variety of topics through June and July. Some of them are going to be a little controversial. Next week, we'll be talking about the gospel and cancel culture. So you start to get a feel for what we're doing here. There's a sense that media, social media, news media, is almost having more of an impact on the world and even on Christians than the Bible is. And so I think it's really important that we spend some time together talking about what's going on through a biblical worldview. And I would highly encourage you to make sure you're here every week that you can make it. This morning we're going to set the stage. We're going to talk about Jesus and how he was described as being full of grace and truth. Now, that's kind of a countercultural idea. The culture wants you to pick a side, right? You're either or. You're for mercy or you're for justice. You're for Black Lives Matter or you're for Blue Lives Matter. You're liberal or you're conservative. The culture wants you to be an or person. Jesus was an and person. We're going to take a look at John, which if you're opening your Bible, if you get to the New Testament, you go a couple of books over and you're at John. If you don't have a Bible, please let us know. We'd love to get you one. It's something that you should have open every day. It's really critical that you spend time with God and in his word, not just Sunday mornings. So this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Are you a grace person or a truth person? It's really a bad question. We tend to lean one way or the other, but the truth of it is, we need to be 100% both. Or really just isn't an option for us. But like I said, we have a natural inclination to one side or the other. And we all know these people, right? We know grace people. Grace people cut us a lot of slack. They accept us for who we are. They don't make demands. They always are welcoming. Sounds nice, right? But without truth, grace really isn't grace. It's just kind of being accepting and nice. And affirmation and grace aren't the same thing. Grace people without truth are pleasant to be around, but we start to wonder if they really like us or if they just really want to be liked. They're tolerant, but often they don't know the difference between right and wrong, or at least They don't seem to care. Grace people accept us for who we are, but they never help us to become who we should be. And then there are truth people, and I'm going to be perfectly honest today. This is my bent. This is the way I lean naturally, and I'm slowly getting better. But we know that truth people, you know, they have convictions, they have principles, they believe in right and wrong, they set standards, they speak out. Sounds good, right? But without grace, truth can sometimes be an excuse for belligerence. Truth people want us to change, and they want us to get better, but they don't usually allow for a whole lot of mistakes along the way. They're quick to cast judgment on others. They can be slow to forgive. See, truth people inspire us with their courage, but they turn us off with their intimidation. We need to be grace and truth people. Not just grace, not just truth, not half grace and half truth. We need to be 100% all grace and truth all the time. Is that even possible? Well, let's look back at verse 14. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this morning we're going to lay a biblical foundation for what grace is and what truth is, and then we're going to look at combining those the way John did when he described Jesus as full of grace and truth. So what is grace? Well, let's look at Romans 5, 6 through 8, where it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And grace isn't a word that we use outside of church much, right? I mean, I'm going to doubt that any of you have ever gone to a boss or a teacher and said, "Hey, you know that project we're working on? Yeah, it's taking a little bit longer than I thought. I'm going to need some grace on that deadline." If you said that, you probably either work for a church or you go to church with the person you were talking to. Grace, and I learned this definition growing up in church, grace is unmerited favor or unconditional love from God. So unmerited means you receive something that you didn't deserve or you didn't earn, and unconditional means it's not limited by conditions like our behavior. Real quick, I want to step aside and point out the difference between grace and mercy. They're really, really similar concepts. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. You're caught going 40 in a 25. You deserve a ticket. The officer gives you a warning. You didn't get the punishment you deserve. You got mercy. Grace is when you do get something that you didn't deserve in a good way. Let me give you an example. When I was in college, it was my sophomore year, October. I got back to my dorm room one night, and there was a message on the answering machine from my dad. Answering machine, a little box that sits next to your phone and take... You know what? If you don't remember what an answering machine was, go home and Google it later. It's not critical for the point here. So I got a message from my dad, and all it said was, "Son, go ahead and pack some clothes. We need you to come home for a while. Your grandparents will be there to pick you up tomorrow." It's really, really cryptic. Had no idea what was going on. Long story short, my mother had been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer and was given 6 months to live. So they wanted me to come home. The day after I got home, I called my girlfriend back at college, and I said, "Could you go talk to my professors and let them know I'm not going to be in class? Here's what's going on." And she did. When I got back to college, I went and saw those same professors to kind of catch up on what I'd missed and figure out what I needed to do. And every single one of them looked at the policy and procedure handbook and did exactly what they were supposed to. They gave me an extension on the deadlines or gave me a new date to make up the quizzes I'd missed. Every single one of them did that, except one. Professor Berrio, who was my political science professor, invited me in, had me sit down in his office, let me talk. Then he told me that when he was in college, one of his family members became critically ill, and he dropped out of college for a year just so he could be home with his family. Then he told me I didn't need to worry about the work I'd missed. Didn't need to worry about the quizzes. None of those grades would count in my final grade. That wasn't what I deserved. That was grace. He gave me a present that I couldn't possibly have earned, I couldn't pay back, and I will never forget Dr. Berrio for the grace he showed me. Jesus, even more so. Jesus was full of grace. He welcomed sinners and tax collectors. He had compassion on the crowds when they were hungry and far from home. He welcomed little children to come sit on his lap. He healed the lepers, the lame, the blind. He saved the criminal on the cross who in his dying breath confessed Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus gave himself for us, a gift we didn't deserve and we couldn't possibly earn. That is grace. And Jesus was full of grace. So now we know what grace is. Let's talk about what is truth. Hope you didn't have plans for lunch today, because, no, I'm kidding. Jenny's looking at her watch back there. You'll be out fine. It's good. Let's look at John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Actually, if you are paying attention, we just sang that. Jesus describes himself as the truth, not as a truth. I don't know if you're paying attention, but generally speaking, when you hear the word truth today, it's modified by something, usually a possessive. And no, we're not doing a grammar lesson. Truth. You don't hear by itself. You hear my truth, or your truth, or our truth and their truth. You don't hear the truth. Culture would have you believe that truth is kind of subjective. And they make a fairly decent argument. I mean, it's kind of convincing. Let me give you a good example. Friday night was a typical night at my house. When I went to bed, I had the sheet up to about here with my arm over it. I had the window open, the ceiling fan going, and both feet stuck out from underneath the sheet. Don't judge. Statistically, I know some of you do that too. My wife had the sheet pulled up around her neck tight, along with two other blankets, the comforter, and no feet were sticking out anywhere, I promise you. Ask her and she'll tell you the room was cold. I would say the room was warm. So there you go, right? She's got her truth, I have my truth. Not so fast. As God would have it, I'm reading a book currently called The Bottom of the Pool by an author named Andy Andrews. And in this book, Andrews encourages people to think past what is true to get to the truth. I'm going to repeat that because that's your brain cells kind of burning up on that one. Think past what is true to get to the truth. Let's go back to my story. My wife says the room's cold. I said the room's warm. And that was true for each of us. But the truth is, the room was 73.5 degrees. The reason I know that is because I bought a thermometer. And this thermometer also has the humidity in there, and it has Bluetooth, so as it records the temperature, I can download it to my phone because it's 2021, and what can't you download to your phone nowadays? But I looked at this Saturday morning, and sure enough, the room was 73.5 degrees, varying about a degree either side through the night while we slept. So who's right? Who's wrong? Who gets to sleep on the couch when he tells her he's wrong? No, I've been married longer than that. No, it's not going to happen. But see, what was true for my wife, she was cold, and what was true for me, I was warm. Neither one of them got to the truth. The truth is 73.5 degrees. The truth isn't subjective to what you and I think about it. The truth is objective. It stands outside of us. And actually, it doesn't change just because you and I react differently to it. The truth is the truth. The great thing is, as Christians, we already know this, right? And we know this because we know, as we sang, a never-changing God. The God who is the standard of truth. The God who is the author of truth. The God whose word is truth. We already know truth is objective. It stands outside of us. We can react differently to it as individuals, but it doesn't change what the truth is. God is the author of truth. Jesus says so. Jesus also pointed out that the devil is a father of lies. Satan would tell you, truth is subjective. Let's look at Jesus talking to the Pharisees in John 8, where he says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Jesus clearly differentiates between truth and lies, between Jesus himself and who he is and what he came to do, and the devil and who he is and what he came to do. Satan would tell you the truth is subjective. Do you know that's not unique to our culture? That isn't something new we came up with, this whole subjective truth? Anyone ever ask you how the Bible could possibly be relevant if it was written so many years ago? Let's take a look at Judges, going back to the Old Testament. Judges 21:25. "In those days, Israel had no king." Grab this. "Everyone did as they saw fit." They had their own truth. Sound relevant? Look, according to the Holman Bible Dictionary, truth is that which is reliable and can be trusted. Jesus tells us in John 17:17, that you shouldn't tap right there on your iPad. That's why you bring paper backups. There we go. So Jesus tells us in John 17:17 that God's word is truth. In other words, it's reliable and can be trusted. Jesus was full of truth. He condemned many of the religious leaders of his day for being liars and hypocrites. He talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. He obeyed law, set standards, demanded everything from his followers, even their very lives. Jesus was absolutely full of truth his entire life. So then, what is grace and truth? It seems like a whole lot easier to be one or the other, right? I mean, if you're a grace person, it seems you're most concerned with being loved. If you're a truth person, you're more concerned with being right, even if it means you're unloved. And there's a danger in both. You know, something's wrong if everybody hates you, but something's equally as wrong if everybody loves you. You know, we may gravitate towards one or the other, but what we need is both. Not a little bit of both, not some truth and some grace. We need 100% grace and truth. So what does that look like? Well, do you remember the woman who was caught in adultery and brought to Jesus? Remember what he did? He forgave her, and he told her to go and sin no more. Grace and truth. This is why, as disciples, we need to be saturated with the Bible, and we've got to rely on the Holy Spirit, because this doesn't come naturally to us. We've got to have God's help if we're going to be people of grace and truth. Jesus didn't come to give us an example of grace and truth, by the way. He came to save us in grace and truth. I've heard it put this way by another pastor, a friend of mine. God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Does that resonate with anybody? Thank God he does. The motivation to be full of grace and truth isn't so that we can earn God's favor, because that's not going to happen. The motivation comes because, as followers of Jesus, the idea is we want to look more and more like Jesus, and that's who Jesus was. Got to be honest, we desperately need grace in our lives. We need to hear from Jesus just what he said in Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We need to know that God doesn't expect us to clean up our act before we get to him. We don't have to figure it out and then go to God. That's backwards. We need to come to God. He pleads with us to come to him as we are, in pain, in suffering, in our brokenness, in humility, in faith, and in repentance. We need to hear that as wayward children who've squandered their inheritance and led an immoral, rebellious life, we can still come home to the open arms of our Heavenly Father. We need to know this applies to us, and we need to know that it applies to everybody in our sphere of influence and everybody around the world. But we also desperately need truth in our lives. We need to hear from Jesus, as he said in John 8, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We need someone as gracious as Jesus to tell us the truth. As we are, we're not okay. We don't need to push away those feelings of guilt that weigh us down because we're guilty. We need to understand that, because if we don't understand that we're guilty, then we don't understand how amazing grace truly is. We need to know the truth about ourselves, and we need to be confident in that truth enough to go out into a broken and dark world that needs to hear the truth extremely badly. Truth and grace. It's like a lot of things in the Christian life. It's simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. So what does it look like? How do we do it? Well, let me ask you, can we serve the homeless and promote a healthy work ethic? Can we share God's truth about sexual immorality and be compassionate towards those in the LGB community? Can we stand for justice and extend forgiveness to those who wrong us? Can we stand up for what's right and do it in love with gentle words of truth? If we're going to be like Jesus, the answer isn't we can. The answer is we have to. Because that's what Jesus was. Full of grace and truth. At Charter Oak Church, we have our six marks of a disciple. And one of those marks is that we want to take ownership of our discipleship by being deployed missionaries. We want to be people who go locally, regionally, and globally to heal spiritual, material, and relational poverty wherever God sends us. I think one of the difficulties we have with being deployed missionaries is that we seem to have lost the moral authority to go to people because we choose to either be grace people or truth people. I've had this conversation with another pastor friend of mine. I grew up in the church, and I look back, and it seems to me that over the past 70 years or so, the church has been excellent at either truth or grace. But we've been really, really bad at doing it all. Now, my pastor friend argues with me. He says, not the last 70 years, but the last 1,500. He went to seminary, so how can I argue with him, right? Without truth, we lack the courage to speak. And honestly, without truth, we lack convictions to speak about. Without grace, we lack the compassion to go to people where they are and meet their most desperate needs. We don't have the luxury of choosing grace or truth. We've got to be like Jesus and be full of grace and truth together. He was the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. We need to be and people. And I want to challenge us all as we go out to live our everyday, ordinary lives as people who are full of truth and grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are so grateful that you sent your Son and that you showed us the truth, and even more so that you showed us grace. God, we want to be like you. Help us to become like your Son and be the people you need us to be, full of grace and truth to reach out to this world that needs both in equal measure so very, very badly. We love you, Father. We need your help to do this. And it's in Jesus' powerful and matchless name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. You can listen to messages from previous sermon series on our website by going to the Resources tab and clicking on Sermons. You can also listen to previous messages on the Charter Oak Church app. Until next week, God bless and have a great week, everyone.